escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Buda Crystal City. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B-Mitch and Finley. B-Mitch playing golf in Vegas. Shout out to him. It's going to be warm out there, and it is warm right here in Ashburn, Virginia. Toby Altizer joining me. Toby Oberhauser, sweating like a dog, like all of us out here in Ashburn. Good practice this morning, Tobo. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, it was very, very warm. Very, very, very warm. Moved up the practice to 8 a.m., so nice and early wake up, and then you're in a sauna.
It was funny, dude. The first, like, 5 minutes of us going down there, it felt way better, and then it was like, bing, yeah. Cooking time.
As soon as you started getting cooked, it was just miserable. It was really, really miserable. It was one of those days where you're just sitting out there, and you're just hoping at some point you're going to get a reprieve, and at some point it felt like a little bit better, but I mean, it was smoky the entire time out there. It was a fun day to watch the guys out there. I think day one and day two, the offense looked really, really sharp. But today was the defense's day out here at training camp. The defense was really, really good today. He had a couple of picks off of Jaden Daniels. There was one ball that he looked over the middle a little bit late trying to get to Ertz, and Quan Martin jumped the route, tipped it. Sanra still dove and picked it off and might have been a pick six in a real game. There was another one in 7-on-7s where Jaden was looking over the middle again and Bobby Wagner was able to get the best of him. And there was another one in the red zone period that they were doing, but I think there was an offside, so it was kind of a free play. Kind of threw one up to the corner of the end zone. Defense came to play today. I know some people are going to read into the tweets and stuff that people were talking about, and I don't think Jaden was his sharpest that we've seen him today, clearly. I mean, last year, I think, in training camp, I think he had like two or three the entire training camp, and I think a couple of those came when they were up in New York with the Jets when they were joint practicing, when there was a mistake or something of the nature where it went through guys' hands or whatever. Wasn't the case today, but I think the big overall takeaway for today was I think the defense was really, really locked in and came ready to play. So that was nice to see. I thought the guys were out there flying around, so it's good to see that. I think nothing to worry about from the offensive perspective. They'll get those things figured out, so nothing to worry about there. But we'll get plenty more into what we saw today at practice, what we got overall away from the first couple of days. They have the day off tomorrow, first 3 days of training camps now in the books. Want to talk to PFT commenter coming up at 11 o'clock, get his thoughts on the Terry McLaurin situation, also get his thoughts on what he expects out of the team this year. Ben Standig going to drop by the tent here coming up at noon. And, of course, at 1 o'clock, no B-Mitch today, so we'll have Ask J.P. Finley Anything. If you want to know anything about what's going on with the Commanders right now, feel free to give us a call and let us know what you think or ask J.P. a question. But getting back to what we saw today, you know, I thought you saw some really good things out of some young defensive players. One thing that was interesting, you get down to the goal line, and the twos were in, but Jordan McGee and Dominique Hampton were up near the line of scrimmage. They're making some checks. They're getting into the right play and a blitzing, and Mariota ends up completing a pass, I think, to Ben Sinnott on a quick slant or a quick drag route that ends up being a touchdown because they were at, like, the 3-yard line. But it's cool to see some of these young guys grow. I think Mikey Sanra still continues to pop. I mean, last year, one of the things that really popped out to me when you watched him in training camp and then into the preseason early into last year, because Mikey really improved as the year went on, I think, in terms of his technique and covering guys down the football field. But the thing that stuck out right away for Mikey Sanristil was when it was a cerebral play, when it was something that he needed to act quick, when he needed to recognize and go, he was spectacular with those sorts of plays last year right away. And specifically, you could see it in, like, the screen game. You know, if he's up near the line of scrimmage, guy's running a bubble, he can come up and blow up the blocker, or he can come up and make the tackle. He was quicker than just about everybody else at recognizing those things and shooting towards the football. And there was a play today where they were running a bubble screen, and Mikey Sanristil just blew up Jalen Lane to go get the ball carrier. So Mikey Sanristil, I think, is taking a step forward, and I think this defense, seeing what they did today, I mean, Lattimore looked solid today, seeing some nice plays out of Trey Amos. I think the big thing for me, it's funny that, you know, you talk to people around that cover the team and around the team, and so many people have mentioned the secondary as a question mark, and I can understand that. There are definitely some big questions about some of the guys in that secondary, specifically Marshon Lattimore, because to me, if Lattimore can play at a high level, that's the X factor of the defense. If Lattimore's playing at a number one lockdown corner type of level, then all of a sudden this defense totally changes. You've got a guy that you can stick on number ones. I mean, think about the team that you have to beat in the division twice a year in Philadelphia. You have to dedicate so much to stopping Saquon Barkley. When you have the ability to put a guy one-on-one with A.J. Brown, you feel a lot better about yourself. Now, we saw that last year, and A.J. Brown was able to get the better of Marshon Lattimore multiple times. But I think even if you can have him have a bit of a day, right? Like, say A.J. Brown goes 5 catches for 60 yards, I think you can live with that. It's, you can't let him get the 7-8 catches for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. Those are the sorts of days that you have to avoid. So if you can have Lattimore show up and play well, that's going to be a massive thing. But the other question marks is Trey Amos. Can he step in and play well right away? And, you know, talking with Nikki Javala a couple of weeks ago before training camp got underway, she thought that by week one, Amos could end up starting on the opposite side. And, you know, from the bits and pieces you've seen in the first 3 days, again, you can only take so much when the pads aren't on. But, you know, you can kind of see what these guys can do out on the perimeter. And I think he's looked solid. You've also got some veteran guys that can step in and help out right away. Jonathan Jones, the guy that, again, just pops to me and I think is going to be a big-time difference maker for this team, is Mikey Sanristil. And I just talked about him saying what he can do, and he's such a special player. He's so good at what he's able to do out of the nickel, and then whether he's going to be playing in the nickel, he's going to be playing outside. That inside-out versatility that he showed last year was something that kind of was eye-opening to me. Because when you drafted this guy, I thought immediately he was going to be a really good option as a nickel corner. I thought he was going to be someone that you could have blitz, you could use in that Mike Hilton type of role. Remember when Cincinnati was really rolling with Lou Anarumo as their defensive coordinator? Things kind of fell off recently. But with Mike Hilton, remember when they were going to AFC championships, when they were going to Super Bowls, it was something that slot corner was someone that they would do a lot of different things with, where they could disguise coverages, they could use him as a blitzer off the edge. I think Mikey Sanristil can be that kind of a player, and if they end up putting him back in the slot this year as a nickel corner, I think you could see him have an incredible season this year to something that maybe he's one of the best guys at that sort of position in the league. But what he was able to do last year was spectacular to me, where he went from the inside, where he was drafted to be there, to the outside, and was able to play there really, really well. And the thing that opened my eyes to that was playoff game against Detroit. When you think about drafting a nickel corner, a guy of Sanristil's prototype, right, that kind of a corner, the guy to me that should be a bit of a difficulty struggling to cover for him, the guy that should be the guy that he can't match up with, is Jameson Williams, right? That speedy guy on the outside that once he gets going, you're not going to be able to keep up with the speed, all those sorts of things. And we saw what happened when he was covering Jameson Williams in the divisional round against the Lions. Runs a skinny post, probably about 40 yards out, and Mikey Sanristil, former receiver, runs the route for him and picks it off. Sanristil has been so impressive to me in the way that he just plays the game, plays it the right way, plays it really hard, understands exactly what he needs to do. He's just very, very smart as a football player. And the thing to me is, if he can continue to play at that level, even if he has to go back outside, he's going to be a really, really good player. But that's part of why you want Lattimore to step up and play really, really well, as you traded for him to be a number one corner. You drafted Trey Amos as a perimeter boundary corner. Can you get those guys to play at a level that allows Sam Ristill to now be the chess piece back inside, where you can use him as a blitzer, you can use him more as a run defender because he's not afraid to be physical, and he's just such a smart football player. It's cool to see that kind of translate once again out here on the practice field. Again, no pads on, so you can only take so much away, but whenever there's something that he can recognize and react, whenever it's something that comes down to the football knowledge, the football IQ, how much you have watched the film, how much you understand what the game is, how much you understand what the looks are, it feels like you never get a mistake from Mikey Samristil still. Maybe there's going to be flaws in technique. Maybe he gets beat one time on a route, whatever. You know, those things happen when it's a, you know, a, in terms of technique and physicality and those sorts of things and being able to match guys. Like, those things can happen. You know, some of these guys that he has to cover in the league are just special and different, right? Like, that's going to happen. But to me, whenever he has the opportunity to play fast and to play smart, he shows it. And it's really impressive to watch. So it's cool to see him grow. I'm curious to see what some of the other guys are going to step up on the defensive side. You know, seeing some of the defensive linemen rotate through. One of the cool things about this camp, and it's funny talking about the age of this team overall being one of the oldest teams in the league, if not the oldest team in the league, is that, you know, you get matchups like today where you're watching 11-on-11 drills and lined up at left tackle is Laremy Tunsil, lined up on the edge, Von Miller. That's cool. That's the stuff you pay to watch. And so I think fans get out here for the first time on Sunday. That's going to be some cool things to watch. But when you look at the defensive line, to me, everyone looks at the secondary as the question mark. And to me, I still have questions about the defensive line. They've brought in some more veteran guys that, to me, are number two, number three, number four type pass rushers or edge defenders. Like a Dietrich Wise, really, really solid player. I think he's going to help against the run. I don't think he's a difference maker in the passing game, and I think that's why in a tandem, maybe with a Von Miller, where in a must-have-it pass rush situation, Von Miller's going to be in there. He's going to be the difference maker. But I think defensively, I have more questions about that D-line and whether they're going to be able to create enough of a pass rush. And then, two, off of that, are they actually going to be able to stop the run? Because I know you could kind of see the game plan for Adam Peters this offseason was he wanted to build a bigger defensive line. Maybe not necessarily the most skilled defensive line in terms of their ability to rush the passer or even as run stuffers, because you look at some of the guys that he brought in. You take PFF grades for what they're worth. I don't think, you know, you can kind of use them to get an idea of some things, but they're not gospel. But you look at where Javon Kinlaw, Dietrich Wise, the guys that they brought in rank as run defenders, and it's not great. They're not horrible. But last year, to me, the big issue was being able to stop the run. And so I think they're maybe still going to have to allocate resources to it. And I think the way that they looked at it, when they had the opportunity, when you draft a Trey Amos, you have a Marshon Lattimore already in the building, and you're hoping to get him healthy and playing better. You have Mikey Samristil still. They had the opportunity, when Amos is there in the second round, to take him. It feels like they were, okay, maybe we can build up the secondary, and we don't have to spend big time on the defensive line. And hopefully you get some growth from guys like a Johnny Newton this year. Hopefully you get what they're looking for out of Javon Kinlaw. I still think that was a bit of an overpay. JP's kind of talked through where he's probably like that third or fourth tier defensive tackle, and that's kind of the money that you go for. That's also why you don't live out of making teams out of free agency. You don't get bargains in free agency. That's not really how that works, especially for players with, you know, that sort of a caliber and that sort of, even though he hasn't had the career that he would have liked for a player picked where he was. He's someone that was picked early first round, someone that, frankly, is a massive human being, and you can still see the potential because you just look at him. he could frankly just stand there. And if you can put together a formidable front there where if Kinlaw's what you want him to be, if Deron Payne can return to form, if Johnny Newton can become what you drafted him to be in the second round, because remember, to me, when you drafted Johnny Newton, and Peters did that early second round last year, it was a little bit of a shocker. kind of spelled the end of what you were going to get out of John Allen. You kind of knew that, that was probably going to come after that. But that was a bit of a luxury pick of sorts where he went best player available when there were other guys that probably could have filled more immediate needs. So when you go best player available there, which is generally the best practice anyways, but when you go best player available there, especially in a position that you had a little bit of a surplus, you need a guy to really perform and come out and play well. And last year with the injuries, wasn't able to get training camp in, didn't really have an off season with the injuries coming in, all those sorts of things. I can understand that there was a bit of a slow start for him, played better as the year went on, but never really acclimated, never really became a difference maker for this defense. If Newton can become a difference maker, if Payne can play well, if Kinlaw can be what you bargained for, suddenly that defensive front looks a lot different. The problem is that's three ifs, right? The problem is that's three dudes where you're like, if he does this, if he does that. And that's even talking about you look on the edge, right? If Dorrance Armstrong can build off of what he did in the playoffs last year versus what he did in the regular season, much better in the playoffs. He was okay in the regular season, and even when they signed him coming away from Dallas, to me, he was someone that could help you out as a number two edge guy, kind of set the edge in the run, occasionally get to the passer. But it's a lot of ifs on that defensive line, and there are ifs in the secondary. There's no question about it. As I laid out, there's big question marks about a couple of the guys. I guess if you're looking still at the secondary as well, you could look at the safeties and say Quad Martin you're pretty sure about, but what is Will Harris going to give you? I think there's a big question there as well. But to me, the defensive line is going to be a massive part of whether they're going to be successful as a defense or not this year, because if you can have those guys play well, I think it can be a difference-making unit. They have guys with that potential. I just think I'm more uncertain of them being able to come through and play at that sort of a level, to come through and be the difference makers that some of those guys have shown in the past, others have not, right? Like, Payne has shown in the past that he can be a difference-making defensive tackle. He did it in a contract year. That's why he got paid the money that he did. That's why he's still around here. Versus a guy like a Kinlaw, he showed it in college. That's why he was drafted in the first round. He hasn't necessarily showed it in the pros. Can Dan Quinn and Joe Witt maximize that? Also, you know, you look at the way that they're going to be going about their defense – with the pass rush, maybe they don't necessarily need these guys to be exceptional pass rushers one-on-one, but when you look at what they're going to be able to create in terms of matchups where they can have Frankie Louvu coming off the edge, they can have all these sorts of things going on, they're going to be able to find a way to manufacture a pass rush. So I think you look at that defensive line, and I think there's big questions about what they're going to be this year, but I think today, JP, the defense looked really, really good, so that was a really encouraging sign.
It was a good day for the defense. The DBs were flying. You couldn't help but notice how well the defensive backs were playing today. The red zone stuff, when it was first team, almost looked a little sloppy,
yes,
which is not the norm. You do wonder a little with the DBs winning. Noah Brown, to my eye, didn't take part in any 11s, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
So when you're down 17 and then you're down 85 – and you consider the dudes that are out there. Obviously, there's still Debo, but then it's Debo, Luke, Jalen. I mean, I think Jalen had a little bit of a welcome to the NFL moment today.
Yes.
A little screen toss, and Lane's supposed to be blocking, and Sammerstill was just on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, that was without pads. Like, imagine if this was a full-go practice. Like, he's probably on his back.
Yeah, 100%.
And the play is completely blown up. And that's okay. Like, you're a rookie. Like, these are the moments. But I do think you notice 17 ain't out there.
100%.
And, you know, that will continue to unfold. I mean, DQ was like, listen, I don't have an update. When there is an update, I'll scream it. I'll be very excited to share that news. And in a way, I almost think, you know, the offense, when it's noticeable that 17 ain't out there, is probably the best leverage 17 has.
100%.
It's not talking or tweets or, you know, the latest we're far apart tweet from Fowler or whatever. It's how you think the offense looks.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that they have a plan that 17's going to be back here because they didn't do anything to address if Terry's not here, right? Like, to your point, they're going out there and they just don't have dudes that are beating people, right? Like, as much as you want to talk about maybe Jaden was a little sloppy today, it's kind of hard when everybody's covered, right?
Yeah. You know where everybody's definitely covered? Orsman Automotive Group of Virginia. Whatever it is you're looking for, you want a used car, you want a new car, you want a great deal, you want great financing, whatever it is you want, Orsman Automotive of Virginia can take care of you. They got 7 locations all over Northern Virginia, and they've been serving car buyers in the DMV for over 100 years. You do something that long, you're doing something right. Whatever it is you're looking for, Toyota, Kia, Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram truck, Chevy, Buick, GMC, any of it, they got it. They're all my boys. They'll take great care of you. I've bought 4 cars from there. I'm serious. I've gotten an Acadia, a Sequoia for my wife. I got my Tacoma. Then my wife made me give up my truck, even though that's what I wanted, to go back to a 4Runner so I could put more kids' stuff in the back of it. Like, all of this has happened at Orsman Fairfax Toyota. I bought a car from Orsman Buick, Chevy Buick GMC in Alexandria. Bemis just bought a conservative estimate is 900 Kias from Billy and Chantilly. These guys will take care of you. They'll give you the Orsman Lifetime Edge, and their philosophy is simple. They're going to take care of you because they want you to come back. Take it from me and B, 2 beyond satisfied Orsman customers. Let's ride together.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Live, Ashburn, Virginia. Toby Altizer sitting in for Brian Mitchell. B, hopefully, what time is it, 10:30? He's probably not playing quite yet, but I bet he's going to be on a golf course in Nevada in moments. Update on Linnell Willingham. He also has something to take care of in moments. Good luck, Big Nell. Hope it goes all right. My man had to get out of here. Get up out of here, Derek. At 11 a.m., really excited to talk with PFT commenter. PFT took a nice long summer break, but I believe is going to join the show while sick. Talk about playing through it, Toby. Lanville has a simple one for us at 10:30 on the show sheet. Biggest takeaway from Commander's camp so far?
I was going to say Jaden's been sharp, but that wasn't necessarily the case today. I mean, honestly, the thing that I've liked to see, Ja'Cory Brooks didn't do as much today. He's kind of become the camp darling through the first 2 days. But those guys, the late-round dudes, have looked sharp. Now, again, pads haven't come on yet, so you can only take so much away from a running back in Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. When the pads haven't come on, you can only take so much away.
I mean, DQ even said that. DQ got asked about Bill Merritt today. He's like, yeah, let's see when the pads come on. Yeah. But he does look pretty quick.
But I think that to me would be the thing is, I mean, you're just looking for anything from a seventh-round rookie. You're looking for anything from an undrafted free agent. And not saying either one of those guys are going to make the team. I think Ja'Cory will. But not saying anything definitively. But you can only do what you can be asked, right? Right now there's no pads on. But they have popped. So I think keeping an eye on those guys for the rest of camp is going to be something interesting. And if Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt can end up playing well and he can end up working his way onto the team, I think he gives you a little bit of something different where Eckler's a little shifty, right? Good pass catcher out of the backfield, but maybe doesn't have the same burst he did early in his career. Brian Robinson.
I think Eckler looks great, dude.
No, he looks good. He just doesn't have the burst like Ja'Cory does. Or maybe the long speed?
I think we pause on that, man. Let's see this dude play football before
that's what
we're saying.
I'm just saying, if he can make the team, he could give you just a little bit something different than those guys can.
Sure. It's funny. I don't know who I was saying this to on the sideline. Maybe it was you. Like, I started talking about Ashburn syndrome a number of years ago, right?
Yeah.
And this happens in training camp where we, like, talk ourselves into stuff way prematurely. And I think I like Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt a lot, right? Austin Eckler was dynamic last year when mm-hmm. he was on the field. The concussions were the issue. I just think we got to kind of chill with like the receiver you just mentioned who had a couple of drops today. And they would have been tough catches. But like I think specifically at the receiver position, because 2 days ago it was Chris Moore. Now it's Ja'Cory Brooks and we're having these conversations, right? Like, in the void of 17 being out there, we're going to see a lot of other guys get a lot of opportunities. But I don't think we should allow that to make us think that these dudes are better than they necessarily
Correct.
Are.
Correct. I mean, we did this with Mitchell Tinsley. You've done this with plenty of guys that ultimately get into the regular season.
Especially
they don't help out.
Skill position guys in camp where even once they get pads on, like they have pads on during training camp practices where they're actually hitting – maybe 25% of the time, maybe 30.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, skill position guys get so much more work, and we're watching 7-on-7, and we watch DB drills. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's easy to, like, lump your brain into that. And again, I'm not taking anything away. I think we got to caution, like, oh, this dude's ready to supplant that dude. It's like,
100%.
We're always in a hurry to do that. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It gives me a little bit of pause.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to make any overwhelming declarations from watching a couple of guys in shells do some nice things. It just they've at least looked the part, which is part of the thing. Like they're trying to make the roster, so at least they're doing something there. The other thing that stuck out to me, JP, today, I was talking about it a little bit earlier. How cool is it when you're watching 11-on-11, Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, Von Miller rushing off the edge? Like some of those things where I don't know how long these guys are going to be wearing burgundy and gold, but Von Miller's wearing burgundy and gold. It's cool every time you get to watch him take a rep.
Totally.
Bobby Wagner, second
year
back.
Had the interception today.
Yeah, like that stuff is cool to watch. Regardless of you know how impactful they'll actually be, it's still cool to see legends like that in your uniform.
Totally. And it's – I mean, Ertz even. Like,
yeah.
There was a moment today when I was on the far field watching DBs, and Lattimore runs pretty well. There's so much discussion around Marshon Lattimore. He seems to be running really pretty well. Do you get the same assessment of that?
Yeah, he looks healthy.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, sadly, it's only late July. You need to see him healthy in late October. But that's a big boost there. I think Amos looks to be pretty good. But at one moment today, I'm watching the DBs, and it's a special teams period on the far side, and I just see Ertz running like 30-yard sprints, just on his own. Like, mm-hmm. he's not doing specials, so he's just running sprints. And then later when they were doing 11s, but there was like a little break, we almost had a man down here. Maybe it was when they were doing the field goals, which I think Matt Gay went 4 or 5 and only missed that long one. Did that seem right to you?
I think he missed 2.
Did he?
He missed one of the shorter ones.
Okay. Did he put it left?
Yeah.
Okay. My vantage point was kind of hard on that. But when that was happening, Eckler is not running sprints, but running like full routes, breaking down. Like when you have these types of veterans around that are known for their work ethic, it just sets the tone of what is going to be for everybody. And to me, like, you asked me my takeaway from the Commanders' first couple of days of camp, it's not even about a position group. One I think's good, one I think's bad. You know what I mean? Like, I think they got some questions at safety. Like, I think I've talked about it a lot. Jeremy Chinn, when healthy, played 100% of snaps for them. 100. And he's gone. And there's nobody out there that has kind of his size and speed for that position group. It was a pretty big outlier. And I like Will Harris a lot, but, like, Chinn was really good for them. Whereas I really like this rebuilt D-line. I don't know what it'll be. I think the O-line looks great. You know, I think that Wiley's still getting reps with the ones, and they're making Connerly push it. Like, there's so many little things. But, like, my biggest takeaway is just, dude, today was ass hot, right? I mean, let's give them a feels like. Landfill, just quick update for you. Not only is it, what are they saying? They're saying it's 87. I'll take the over. What's the feels like, Toby?
I got 92 is the feels like.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Not only is it 92 feels like, but the generators out here just cut out. So we don't have that. Shout out to Derek, who had a power bank. So we have a fan. But they do give us, like, air conditioning in these tents, which blows relatively cold air, keeps it relatively manageable. All that is shot. So we're grinding right now. We're out here earning it.
Yeah.
But my biggest takeaway for this team today is ass hot. They move practice up an hour. Players know they have an off day tomorrow. Yes, I don't think the offense looked crisp, but I don't think it was a lack of focus or energy. I just think the DBs kind of dominated today.
The defense came to play today.
Right. But I've seen these practices in previous regimes, and maybe we'll still see it 3 weeks from now, true dog days of camp, right, where this is just a dog of a practice. And it's just like, all right, we're bailing early. And you, the focus and the tone of football is this really interesting kind of dichotomy of we're going to bust our ass, we're going to take this super serious, this is what we do. And at the same time, they're able to maintain it being fun. And the dudes are jumping around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jaden and Bobby jawing with each other if McNichols got in on that third down at the goal line. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and I was laughing because Bobby's looking at the ref going, I know he's great and all, but.
Right.
And Jaden was jawing with Trey Amos. And those are the dynamics that I think are the coolest. Is I pointed this out last year. You saw Jaden immediately gravitate towards Bobby Wagner, and that continues on. They're always talking in between periods. He's talking with Sandra still. Another cool part was watching Von Miller. I think he was working with Dietrich Wise, and they were talking through pass rush moves. You talked about Ertz getting work in on a side field, Eckler getting extra work in when they were doing some specials work. Debo and Michael Gallup are over there catching a couple of balls, working on their hands. Like, these guys came to grind, even though it's a ridiculously hot day out here. They moved practice up, all these things. It's not one of those that it was lax. Like, these guys are still, they have a purpose, and I think you can see that in everything they do.
My biggest takeaway from 3 days of camp, purposeful. Everything is intentional. And I think that has really been the tone since DQ and AP got here. Like, everything is intentional. I mean, you saw it last year, and remember, like, the topic of, like, oh, man, Jaden's not getting all the reps. He's going to start slow. Like, they knew what they were doing. They have a plan. There is nothing that is, like, spontaneous or, you know, kind of fly by the seat of your pants. Like, they're doing things intentionally. And you see it in drill work. You see it up and down the field. And one thing we saw today, and it wasn't the crispest, right? But they practice late game situations. They practice the red zone stuff. And all teams do this. I don't want to act like they're reinventing the wheel. But one thing Brian and I took issue with was the notion of how lucky they got last year. And I understand you can plug things into a computer and the luck matrix and such. But, like, they also coach that stuff. Like, they call them winning time moments. And they focus on that all of the time. Like, that is a constant thing for them. And when you combine coaching and teaching that with a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, who stays poised at all moments, and then bringing in a guy like Dave Gardy, to, I mean, I remember Sheehan yelling about this for years, like, they need a coach that is only in charge of timeouts and how to use the clock. They did that. That's what Guardy's job is. Now, he does a lot of other stuff, but in games, that's his job. Like, they hired that specific position. And I just, like, when you coach it and you teach it and you live it, like, I just don't think it's luck.
No, I completely agree. I mean, there are certain moments where you feel like maybe there's things that go their way, but also you create your own luck, right? And when you've got a quarterback, like, is it lucky every time the Chiefs win that way? Is it lucky when Tom Brady would lead a comeback or lead a late game drive to win a game? Like, no, it's not luck. It's called being in the right spot, your team coming together, making the plays when necessary, and then having the quarterback with the low heart rate that gives everybody else confidence to go lead the team on a game winning drive. And this team has that. And so I think that's the cool part about this is you saw Jaden be really, really good in his rookie season. But it wasn't just that, oh, he showed the flashes, he showed some talent, he showed that he can do it. He also showed that not only can he be great for three quarters of the game, he can be great in the final drive in the fourth quarter, down by four, needing a touchdown. Like, he showed you time and time again that he can do those things. And so really, to me, like, coming into this year, it's just, can he replicate what he did last year? Because if he just plays like he did last year, for the rest of his career, he's a Hall of Famer, right? Like, that's how good he played last year. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year and build off of it. And he's looked sharp aside from today. But, yeah, I mean, he's – it's not luck when you put the ball in five's hands and they go win.
Yeah, and even some of his not sharpness – I mean, there were some catches that I think – if 17's out there, it's six.
Correct.
You know what I mean? What I am really excited about, talk about setting the tone, PFT commenter joins us at 11.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This is what I was trying to do, which I tried to explain to people that yelled at me. But a lot of NFL facilities don't compare to college facilities, because prior to NIL, like, the arms race in college was just to build the dopest facility to impress people. But that doesn't mean you can't have a dope NFL facility. And it's funny, Jeremy Reeves and I just talked about this. There's such a big difference between get to and have to. Have you ever read about that theory at all?
Yeah.
Like, we get to come to training camp, mm-hmm. right? Like, we don't have to come here. Like, I've had to learn choosing my words better, like, hanging out with my kids. Like, I get to put my girls to bed. I don't have to. Brian has yelled at me about that a number of times when I would call it babysitting. but, like, for Josh Harris and company, like, they get to build a dope-ass locker room and spend the money and make it better. And that is such a sea change out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you look at some of the new facilities that are built around the NFL, like the Chargers facility that was recently built. Like, those things are so cool. And obviously, they're working with already built infrastructure, but being able to make improvements for the players, it's noticed, right? I mean, even something as simple as JP, like, so many players, so many, you know, the execs, everybody was thrilled about just the practice field, right? Just ripping out the AstroTurf and replacing that with a usable practice field, which they've used for the first couple days. They didn't use it as much today, but they used it the first 2 days. Like, just having stuff like that, right? Just simple stuff. Like, they had football fields before. It's not as if they didn't. They had a locker room before, but going out there and making improvements to help the guys out, it just brings me back to when Josh Harris had that introductory press conference, and he said, look, we have a salary cap, we have all those things, but we're going to try to win on the margins. These little things are winning on the margins. Maybe it doesn't add, you know, points to the board on Sunday, but if your players feel better and it helps them and maybe draws in an extra guy or two, go about it and do it. And they did.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Work on, I mean, if you can win anywhere, it is the margins, and I think they're trying to do it. And that's, it's also just about treating people like you want to be treated, something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And if you're asking these dudes to kill themselves, like, we want you going full speed all the time, and it's super hot and it's super difficult. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to take care of them.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I mean, seeing like they had like a hyperbaric chamber in there, and I don't even know what some of the health benefits are of those different things, but being able to have all the facilities necessary just so that they can recover, to your point, and then when they're done with a day like today, JP, I'm sure there's some dudes sitting in their locker just trying to cool down for a little bit, or I'm sure those things recline. Maybe they take a quick nap before some meetings, whatever the thing may be, just being able to help the guys and making it more attractive. I mean, you talk about the relationships, right, with what DQ can do, but make it so that the facilities aren't a hindrance as well. Yeah, I think it's a great step for this team to be able to do those sorts of things.
One dude that definitely caught my eye today, he had a couple catches when the second team did their red zone work, was Tyree Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big dude.
Big old dude.
Can you imagine him playing quarterback?
it's like what? Like Logan Thomas and those guys? Just
he's bigger than
dude.
All of them.
Yeah.
Dude, like Logan, Cole Turner, I mean, they've had these big, tall tight ends for a while. Tyree's bigger than all of them.
I don't think he was a great quarterback, but he's an incredible athlete.
Was he the quarterback at Buffalo when Jarrett Patterson was at Buffalo?
I think so.
Like, you know that famous picture of Manute Bol and Muggsy Bogues, like in Bullets uniforms? Like, that is Jarrett Patterson. Or who is it? Altuve standing next to Judge. Like, that is Patterson next to Tyree Jackson.
He's like ducking to hand the ball off.
I mean, seriously, you run read option, that's like really awkward. I mean, he's every bit of 6'8". What do they list him at?
Yeah, I think he's somewhere around there.
Dude, I mean, he is tall. Like, he is.
They list him at 6'7", 249.
They list Ertz 6'5", 250, and Tyree at 6'7", 249. I might take the over on both. Now, I don't know. I don't know that what he'll be. I don't know that he can go. I know David Rye is a really sharp tight ends coach and is really working those guys hard. Ben Sennett did have a nice little diving catch at the end zone. But, man, Tyree Jackson's a big fella.
Big old dude. Big old dude.
Hell, line him up on the outside. Line him up on the outside. Run a fade on Sunday when fans are here. The Ashburn syndrome will be off the charts. When we come back, PFT commenter.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.